The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9. The game is the morning shift. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It is snowing pretty hard outside, my friend. It's a winter wonderland, if you will, Bo.
It is getting hit down here in Midtown. Guys, stay home.
Yeah. Turn us on the Odyssey app on your Alexa or whatever else you listen at home.
And about 9:15, 9:30, you see a Silverado going
silver
by.
Bullet.
Get the hell out of my way, bro. I'm gonna have the Yeti full ice water.
I'm a little bit worried about Dylon though. There ain't no four wheel drive on that rig of his.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of conflicted. I'm glad you brought this up because I'm a little bit conflicted on what I should do. If I should, at this point, maybe wait a little bit.
The freezing rain starts around 10:30.
Yeah, but no, I see what I saw was it's going to snow and then it's going to rain and then it's going to sleet. So if you could hit that when that rain rolls, I don't know. But you don't want to be on the road when it starts freezing back
no,
up.
No, definitely
I know that.
Not. Definitely not.
I'm not going to sit here and get on a microphone, though, and act like I know that much about driving in the snow because I just simply don't. I've been in the South
either.
My whole life.
Same.
Dude, steady as she goes.
But I do have four-wheel drive, so that helps.
Don't hammer the gas. Don't hammer the brakes. Yep. Try not to stop unless you have to. And do not let off the gas on a hill or you will be stuck.
Yeah.
And and you can use reverse if you need to because some two-wheel drive cars, you can get more traction in reverse.
Yeah. That's actually a good point. I tried to do that when I got stuck
Very
last
good
time.
Advice.
Yeah. All right. So you and I actually watched the game last night together. We were talking about it at the top of the show. Bo and I have been working almost 2 years on this show together. We've never watched a football game together. On the television.
Live.
Yeah, on the television live.
Normally when we do it, we're away from each other in the building.
Yep.
Or we're watching film. And it was like weird because I always say things I want to be done in the game.
Right.
That I turn into a fan before every play. Like,
so
I
want to
see
all are.
I want to see him do this.
Yeah.
And then you call me an idiot
No.
I want to see him.
No.
I would do this.
What happened was you said what they should have done. And then I kind of chuckled and you said, I know, man, sometimes Arch in the booth calls me an idiot. And I was like, you do sound like an idiot right now.
Because I'm like, I would do this.
And well, and look, it's always fun to me because I do the same thing. There's no doubt about it. I do the same thing. But in the end, you kind of chuckle because you're like, this is probably, for whatever play caller we were talking about, probably the biggest game of their lives. And they've probably watched film, and they know all these players in every attribute, front, backwards, sideways, and have watched probably 200 hours of film in the last week. And so I do the same thing. I'm not casting stones at you. You watch it, and you go, oh, man, I can't believe they didn't throw the backside slant on that one. And you're like, you know, if you ask the coordinator, he's probably like, well, that receiver's not good at slants. We needed him as a blocker in the previous game. Yeah. We got caught in a bad personnel package. There's always a reason. You know what I mean?
I wanted him to run like a screen to Tyler Warren at one point.
Right.
And I was like, I'd run a screen to Tyler Warren right here. We'd just hammer somebody.
Right.
And they ended up doing it later and it worked.
They did it on fourth down.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Which I thought they should have kicked the field goal. Because I was like, I ought to kick the field goal. But it turned out they got a touchdown on that drive.
I thought that was going to be a pivotal play. James Franklin, what were we probably in the second? You got to be in the second quarter.
Was that the first field goal that they kicked?
They didn't kick a field goal. They kicked the field goal. Then the second drive that Penn State was driving, they go for it on fourth, they pick it up, and they ended up putting it in the end zone a couple plays later.
No, the first time they got down there, he threw a pick, didn't he?
Probably so, because the whole first quarter was scoreless.
Yeah.
And mind you, I had the over 40, 45 and a half last night, and I'm going, this is brutal.
Look, that's what I loved about Marcus Freeman's interviews. He's like, Well, we got to stop them from running the ball, and then we've got to be able to run the ball. Because Penn State, did they get – it was really the tale of two halves running the football. It was, you know, and dude, how about that run by Love?
Dude.
That's as good of a touchdown run in that kind of moment. I mean, I mean, he was stopped three times short.
Unbelievable. I loved everything. And I actually loved the fourth down play call from James Franklin. Now, you don't end up getting the win, and obviously a couple of massive plays there in the fourth quarter. The interception being the biggest one of those, Drew Aller. And we wondered, you and I both wondered on the show yesterday, would they be able to force Drew Aller into mistakes? And at the biggest moment of his career, that's what happened. And does this not seem to be a story for James Franklin? It just feels like James Franklin is that kind of guy that in these games, that kind of always happens to him. It's not his fault, not always his fault, but he's the medium when it comes to this. They're the first ever team to lose in one season three top five AP matchups. Ever.
Well, and it you know, the best part is it's used against them.
I know.
The fact that that's the only teams you're losing to is then turns into the, yeah, but you can't ever beat those teams.
Well, the problem is you would and how long has he been at Penn State now?
I think that's his 11th season.
You would think at some point, if you're ever going to get over the hump, you would think that you would get over the hump at some point.
Well, I actually consider making it to the college football semifinals.
Right.
And losing in a game essentially at regulation. I mean, I know they had 10 seconds left, but I mean, that I feel like they got over the hump this year. Winning two college football playoff games. I know you didn't beat the Oregon or the Ohio State or the Penn State. I mean, excuse me, the Notre Dame. But, you know, you've shown that you can be a real national threat in the college football playoff, which is something you haven't shown at any point. You've never been in the Final Four. You never made the college football playoff. So now I just think there's no like, that is something to even build on top of what they've done. Now, do they have the money at the program to compete?
Well, I think they probably do. I think they have a passionate enough fan base. They're a blue blood program. But if you're going to sit here and tell me that you think they got over the hump this year, I can't accept that. They would not have been in this position in any other college football year in history. They wouldn't have been. You can't lose the two games they lost,
but they don't,
and sit here and say that, oh, well, they got to the semifinal, they got over the hump.
But guess what? That system is never coming back. They don't have to worry about that. They're essentially, it's the same as.
To me though, getting over the hump says that you're better than you've been. Like, you improved. Like, there wasn't really anything this team compared to years past.
I would say the coaching in tough situations. I thought James Franklin has had times where he's made questionable decisions, and I don't think he did that. I don't think he made questionable decisions last night. Like, I thought that for the most part,
they all worked out when he did last
night.
Well,
I mean, it's not, you know, he didn't tell Drew Aller to panic. Under pressure.
Definitely was a panic throw, wasn't it?
And throw backpedaling, almost like a back trod when you're about to get hit. Like, that wasn't James Franklin couldn't stop that. You had your team tied in the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left. You know, they played that sometimes you can't blame coaches for everything.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And Christian Gray is the young man's name. I want to make sure we say it. He's the one that got his hands on the football that Drew Aller threw.
It was a good play.
Right
good
there
catch.
In the last minute of the game. So it was an incredible play, an incredible catch. And look, nine times out of ten, that DB is not going to get that play. Like, he's not going to pick that ball up. So Drew Aller, while it was a panicky throw, nine times out of ten, that DB is not going to be good enough to drive on the ball that way. So,
yeah. But to me, James Franklin showed that he can hold his own in those big moments coaching. I didn't think the moment looked too big for him at all.
Christian Gray caught that ball on the Penn State 42 with 33 seconds left.
Yeah.
So you got 19 more yards. You kicked the game-winning field goal. I'm drawing a blank on the kicker's name for Notre Dame,
Jeter.
But they've shown his parents all throughout
Micah
this playoff.
Jeter.
Yeah, Jeter. They've shown his parents all throughout the playoff. And I was so excited for his dad and that family, watching them in the crowd as he's able to make that kick, which obviously is a massive moment.
His dad was filming it?
Yes.
That's cool. It was
cool
moment.
Awesome, man. It was awesome to see that. And obviously, you and I were at dinner with my cousin last night. He went to the Rose Bowl 15 years ago and was there for all that craziness that was going on. We talked about those kind of moments. Insane for that family. So awesome to be able to see that.
I also found out that your cousin is going to be one of those guys where they're going to show pictures throughout time in sports, and he's randomly going to be in the background.
He's like, hey, you remember that game? I was there.
How did he get, like, every moment I'm brought up?
Florida State, Oklahoma?
No.
In 2000.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I was there.
Yeah. But he was also like, hey, I was at that. Remember the last time Notre Dame was in the Orange Bowl? I was there.
And
I was
like, I was on the field. Here's a picture of me and Jesse Palmer.
Yeah, and I was like, where the hell did that come from? And why do you have it on hand? Why are you, what are you just like carrying around your wallet? Here's a picture of me and Jesse Palmer.
It's like a switchblade he pulled out. Like,
it's different on your phone now, but like when I'm.
Like,
was that
your background?
But when I go, hey, let me show you a picture. And you're like, 10 minutes later, oh, here it is. You're like, what is this? Oh, I forgot. You know, 10 minutes later, like, Nate was like, oh, here it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, dude, you had that kind of quick.
All right, man. It was bad news Bears last weekend. Let's make some more picks. All right, so I think we're getting to the point of the season where there's not a lot of games. So we're going to do two mandatory picks. I don't think we're going to do any freestyles this weekend. The mandatory college pick, Bo, you can go first if you'd like. Number 5, Texas against number 8, Ohio State. That line, Ohio State favored by 6, over under 53.5.
Yeah. I hope we get the game we got last night.
Yeah.
Which means
back and forth.
Yeah, man, that would be so much fun being snowed in, watching a game like that tonight. I don't know if we get it, though. I think Ohio State wins easily. I do not know what gear Ryan Day found, but it looks unstoppable for Ohio State. I think they cover the 6.
Yeah. I'm along those same lines, man. I think Ohio State is the best team in the country right now. They have shown nothing in the last 2 matchups that lead me to believe that this game is going to be anywhere close. And I like Texas, man. But let's be really honest with ourselves when we look at Texas. When they've played elite talent and elite speed defensively, they've looked very average. They got through the season. Their only tough matchup was against Georgia. They almost lost to Vanderbilt. They lost to Georgia again in the SEC title game. They could have easily lost the matchup they played last round. I like everything Steve Sarkisian's doing. I don't think this Texas team is as good as they were last year. I think they're going to come up short. I think Ohio State's going to cover that one. All right, our mandatory NFL pick, Commanders against Buccaneers. Tampa Bay favored by 3 on their home field. This one's going to hurt to watch a little bit. It's going to feel a little bit of a sting because, obviously, Tampa was able to win this division. You played Washington and lost in overtime 2 weeks ago. That could have been an entry point as well. I'll go first on this one. I would have, without looking at that line, picked Washington. Now that I'm looking at that line and seeing Tampa favored by 3, Vegas knows, okay? Vegas just knows. In games like this where you have a certain inkling, I mentioned it. I am impressed with Jaden Daniels. I'm not really that impressed with Washington's offense. It is Jaden Daniels. When they get in bad situations, Jaden Daniels bails them out. So it's not like they're just, you know, hey, this is a well-oiled machine. No, it's Jaden Daniels freestyling and getting after it. I am going with Tampa Bay minus the 3 points against Jaden Daniels and those Washington Commanders this weekend.
The fact that they're at home getting 3 points tells me they think it's a pick 'em.
I agree.
You're getting the 3 points because you're at home. I think Washington is going to stress the secondary that we've seen stressed all year. They're also a little bit banged up. I'd like to see how these guys come back. Dude, I think Washington's it. I think Dan Quinn knows what he's doing. And I think Jaden Daniels has that, you know what? I'm the rookie quarterback this year that's going to win a couple playoff games or at least one. I think Washington wins. I'll take Washington at 3 points. It's easy for – I don't have the disdain, I should say, like most fans do for Dan Quinn. Whatever happened in that 51 happened, still my dude. Yeah. Washington.
Yeah. I like that pick, but
I'm also not going to pick a rival to win in the playoffs.
They did it last year. I feel like they're going to do it again.
Yeah, that Philadelphia team, though, was a hobbled.
It was. It walking. Was. But they beat them.
There were turmoil on that team. They were just.
They were a shell of their former
self. That was never going to work.
Listen to me very closely. There is nobody, and I mean nobody, that knows the Atlanta Falcons like Dave Archer. He's going to talk to us next. We're going to talk to him a little bit about the Falcons, a little bit about the NFL playoffs, and a little bit about the college football playoff semifinals game. Dave Archer coming up on the other side of the break. Stick with us. It's Mike and Bo. It's the Morning Shift. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Moving on here throughout this 8 o'clock hour. Hope you guys are staying safe out there on the roads. Hopefully you're able to turn us on your smart devices, your radios inside your house. Stay put. It looks a little bit crazy out there. Make sure you stay put and don't do anything crazy.
But
what's that?
You know who could do something crazy?
Probably the guy that's going to join us on the phone.
The hill he's got.
Oh. We got a hilly driveway?
No, it's not his driveway.
Oh, okay.
It's the road. Like, remember Vacation? Christmas Vacation?
Yeah.
You remember when he puts the kid on the sled?
Yeah.
Or I guess it's just Chevy Chase himself. Arch could do that. Changes. He could do that down the hill once he gets going with snow.
Arch, man, you sledding today or what's going on up there, buddy?
Just finished my fourth run down the hill. Yeah, I've got it all greased up for when the kids get up. It's going to be really slick. We're killing it out here in Marietta.
Yeah. Man, I hope you're having a good time. Hopefully you get a little hot chocolate in the system. You know Bo's a big hot chocolate guy. He's been over here dreaming of Kahlua and hot chocolate.
White Russian? Hold the chocolate, put the vodka in?
Oh, yeah, man. Well, Arch, the good thing is we got some good football on this weekend if anybody does get snowed in. And obviously a pretty good game last night. Now, I'll admit, Arch, the first half of the game last night, I'm like, dude, this ain't it. Like, this is not a fun football game to watch. Although, if you like defense, I guess you could have made that claim. Ended up being a little bit of an instant classic. Drew Aller, tell me what you saw on that last play. Drew Aller throws a pick. There's 38 seconds left. Notre Dame turns that into a winning field goal.
Yeah, classic mistake, Mike, that you hear, that a lot of people say quarterback throw the ball late over the middle. He got some initial pretty good protection, and then they got a little late pressure, so he pushed to his left. And then that's when it becomes an issue, because you got a guy running an in-cut, and those are normally timing throws, regardless whether they're playing man coverage, which Notre Dame was playing man coverage on the play anyway. But if you're late, now you've allowed the defensive back to really come back and make the play. I thought the DB played it extremely well. He had inside technique on the receiver, so the receiver had a tough time fighting to get inside anyway. And then when he did, the DB did a really good job of swiveling his hips and staying in his hip pocket. Aller threw the ball, again, late and was way too far inside of the ball because he was under duress. And it's a classic pressure forces the quarterback into a poor throw. That's what you're looking for. I don't care what level you're on. Can you force the quarterback into throwing the ball before he's ready to, or in a situation where he's uncomfortable throwing the ball back against his body? So it's a really good play and a key moment for Notre Dame. And then they found a way. I mean, how about the play they make Riley Leonard that on third down? Or it looks like they're going to run lead option, and then he leaps in the air and throws the ball for a completion to get him in a decent field goal range situation. So Notre Dame came up with the clutch plays when they need to, no question.
Yeah, it was a fun game to watch, Arch. Now, tonight we could have a fun one, although Ohio State has made games we thought would be fun to watch it completely just brutal.
Snoozers.
I mean, yeah, you've turned them off by halftime. Tennessee hung around a little bit longer, I feel like, than Oregon did. What do you think the key for this game is for either team? How does a team take their footing and win this game tonight between Ohio State and Texas?
Well, I really think that, you're right. Ohio State's playing at a really high level, and on both sides of the line of scrimmage, when we start talking about Mike's area of getting after people up front in the run game, I think the team that runs the football tonight and has some semblance of some balance in running the ball and throwing the ball is going to be the team that's going to win the football game. And that might not even apply to Ohio State. I think they're playing at such a high level on the defensive side of the ball that if you get in a situation where Steve Sarkisian's having Quinn Ewers drop and throw the ball, if he has to drop and throw the ball 35 or 40 times in this game, that's a loss for Texas. I don't think that they're going to be able to protect. I think they've struggled against teams that can rush the passer. We saw what the problems they had against Georgia and trying to keep Georgia off of their quarterback and maybe hurrying up his thought process. Ohio State's really playing at a high level up front. And they've got guys in the back end that can make plays too. But I just think how good they're playing up front. So I think the team that can run the football, both teams have two really good running backs, so they can do it running back by committee. It's interesting that the four teams left in the playoff all had a two-headed monster at running back, two guys that could come in and they were very proficient at running the football, either one of them, and both teams too. But Wisner and Blue are really going to have to run the ball well, I think, for Texas tonight to keep some balance to maybe counteract Ohio State's ability to rush the passer.
All right, Arch, and that's a good point, by the way, the two-headed backs with each of these teams. I'm watching, though, as Notre Dame wins last night, and the biggest question I had in my mind is, Notre Dame beat either Texas or Ohio State. Now, like you, I'm kind of thinking Ohio State's probably going to win, but I know you. You never know what you're going to see any given Saturday or whatever you want to call it at this point in the season. What do you think Notre Dame's chances are to beat either one of these teams next week?
Well, I think they certainly be underdogs. Ohio State's playing at a different level. You guys have talked about it all week long where they've kind of upped their game. I don't know whether it was egg in their face after the Michigan game or whatever, but Ryan Day's got them playing at the level that I think he had hoped they would. They've had, you know, arguably one of the two or three best rosters in the country all year long. I think Will Howard settled in as the quarterback, and the two receivers are big-time players. The running backs are big. But I think really the combination of how they play defensively makes them I think they're an exorbitant favorite against Notre Dame. I think they would be a double-digit favorite against Notre Dame. Now, maybe I'm not an odds maker, but I would see that there's some limitations to what Notre Dame is going to be able to do offensively, potentially against Ohio State. But there is that whole, hey, let's get in an alley and see how it feels. And Notre Dame has the ability to do that. That was a rough game last night. Those two teams are knocking the hell out of each other. That's the game Notre Dame wants to play. I think it's the game Ohio State wants to play. And so it would be interesting if we got a street fight, because I think that gives Notre Dame a chance.
Arch, I know you got a chance to be up there yesterday for Terry Fontenot's press conference. What'd you make of, and what do you think about them saying they're comfortable with Kirk Cousins going into next year as the backup? Now, real quick, just to give some clarity, if they, you know, basically they're not going to save any money, so they would have to, if they cut him, and with a June 1st designation, they would take a $40 million cap hit. There's no savings there, and they would still have to sign someone. So financially, it does actually make sense, believe it or not.
Yeah, I don't know that he was talking specifically about the financial part of it. Obviously, that's a piece of it. It's a huge piece that everybody wanted to make a big deal of yesterday, namely a couple of our good buddies that really wanted to get on him about the money situation. When he said he was comfortable with it, I think they were okay with the fact that Kirk Cousins would be okay here as a backup to Michael Penix from a structure standpoint, from a tutoring standpoint, from a teammate standpoint. I think that's, you know, and there's a lot to that. Mike can elaborate maybe on this after I leave, but there's guys that you keep around. They're talented and they're starters and they're good and they go out and play. But then there's other guys that can't be, and those guys sometimes can't be backups. They're a cancer in your rooms. They're a problem in your building. That's not who Kirk Cousins is. So I think the comfort zone that they were talking about, I think the money was the secondary piece to it. And I know it's a huge piece, and I get the ramifications that 90% of your money at the quarterback room is going to the guy that's backing up. But I just think that the blend of the two players, they were comfortable with that, and I think they're comfortable with what Kirk can bring to the table for them in that capacity.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think that, you know, obviously you need two interesting people to be in that room, and it sounds like to me like Michael Penix and Kirk Cousins are those guys and kind of fit those roles. Arch, you know, Terry was asked yesterday about, you know, the draft, the fact that you only have five picks coming up. You've traded picks. You've obviously you lost one because of Kirk Cousins and the tampering investigation. His response was interesting. He kind of mentioned, hey, we could trade down. He went out of his way to kind of slide that in there. It feels like to me, though, just from the outside looking in, that you probably need to use that 15th pick on an edge rusher. But Lord almighty, we've been wrong in years past. I want to know what your thoughts were on that.
Yeah, I think we've been predicting edge rusher for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, yep. Mike, on that. And I have not dove into the, you know, the prospects that are eventually going to be available and all those type of things. I do know that when you look back at the edge rushers that everybody wanted us to take, it looks like only one guy hit. And that was the guy, you know, Jared Verse with the Rams is really the only guy that really produced anything. So you might have selected an edge rusher and he might not have done anything. He might have been similar to the numbers that Arnold Ebiketie put on his first year and when he played. So you might not have gotten, and now all of a sudden you look up and you, although it's earlier than you wanted to, your quarterback of the future has been discovered and we've determined he can flat play. And so you did get that out of things. So as far as this draft moving forward, I think you're probably, if you're talking to me about what are you looking for, certainly how can you pressure the passer? Is there an edge rusher? Is there an interior defensive lineman you can't pass on like a Derrick Brown or somebody like that that's a difference-making type player that the Carolina drafted a few years ago? Or is there a corner sitting there that is the match to A.J. Terrell on the other side to make a quarterback hold the football? You're certainly looking at the defensive side of the football. And, Mike, I wouldn't go too far away from potentially talking about what's going on at that second level, the linebacker position, a difference-making linebacker. With the disappointment, with the injuries of Troy Anderson and all those kind of things, are you in the market for a potential difference-making linebacker that can make plays across the field? That might be. So I think all three levels is in play for the defense, but certainly that front level, the passer, the press the passer, is certainly where I'm thinking as well.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and predict Tyler Warren will be picked. hey, Arch.
Nice.
We're going to need more snow because the city would melt down if we take it out.
Well, we'd be ready in the red zone. We'd be snapping the ball in the red zone. We'd be money.
What portion of the is this the portion of the day in the snow that you're going to walk out to that hot tub you got out there, put a stogie in, maybe crack open a Coors Light, and sit in the hot tub while the snow comes down on you?
I'm going over Arch's house.
I don't know if I'd go snogie, but certainly a beverage or two would be in the offing here and sitting out there watching the snow come down. I might even be able to wheel over the giant umbrella just to cover it up so you're not getting all wet and stuff like that.
Hey.
But, yeah, no question
be
about
safe
it.
On those
I got
sleds
the sleds today, out, guys. Come on over. We're ready to roll. If you can get here,
well,
you can get here.
I'll park at the bottom of the hill. Maybe I can walk up it, hopefully. I don't know.
Oh, I thought you had one of those manly trucks where you could go anywhere. That's what I keep hearing from you all.
I can, but I'm even not dumb enough to go up your hill.
Hey, the W saw Chevy.
I didn't know they had mountains in East Cobb. But yeah.
Hey, by the way, that's another use of the W sauce. I use it on all the meat up here that I put on the grill, but I also put it on the bottom of my sled. Man, you can really go. It's unbelievable.
I'm glad I got a whole stockpile at home.
Oh man, Arch. Hey man, stay safe out there today. Stay warm. We appreciate you hanging out with us.
You guys too. Take care, man. Good talking to you.
That's Dave Archer, man, Falcons Radio Network analyst, and always knows all the latest. Really, it's just so fun to talk to Arch about all the football games going on. So we'll do that any chance we get, and appreciate him joining us. And look, he mentioned it. The snogie, that's a new one in my vocab that I'm going to hold on to for a while. Snogie. I love that, man. That's good stuff. All right, we got to head to break. And obviously, we'll continue on the other side. We'll talk a little bit about these NFL playoff games coming up this weekend. I've got one that I think is a lock. I think it's a lock, man. I just started looking at it, and I think it's time to put it in. I might go ahead and call the bookie. Time to put it in, man. So you make sure you want to stick with us. We also got a Life of Squid. What you got coming up?
Hey, if you guys going to go around the room, if you were an eye black, what message would you write on it?
Oh, snap.
Next, Morning Show Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and
the Cold Odyssey app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. And when you call Mark Spain, make sure you got a good heater in tow for the weather we're seeing outside right now. Garrett, you got time to get on the microphone real quick? Garrett just rolled in. Big G.
Garrett had to walk. He got stranded.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask him. I want to ask him what the roads are like out there because obviously it's a challenge. He's got snow all over his shoulders. I want to know how far you had to walk, man, because you said you got a little bit locked in. So whenever he gets settled in and gets done, I don't know what he's doing. Now he's just walking around in circles.
I think he's grabbing headphones now.
Okay, grabbing headphones right now. But, look, make sure you're being safe out there. Make sure if you have to absolutely get on the road, try to be in a safe vehicle, good tires, four-wheel drive, whatever you have to do, because it obviously looks crazy out there. It looks crazy right now. It looks like a blizzard here in Midtown, if I'm being honest. I never thought that when I looked out the window today, and this is just coming from, I guess, an area of stupidity.
Well,
didn't think it looked like this.
I didn't think it would come this early. And they also said that they thought that it was that Atlanta wasn't going to start till later with the snow.
Now, granted, I'm up in Sandy Springs. And Sandy Springs doesn't currently, from what I can see on my house cameras, look like this.
I'm curious if you're on the road, tweet one of us, tweet the show, tweet me. I'm interested in what the interstate looks like right now. I see it's yellow, but is that just people driving slow, or does that mean people are bogged down?
Big G, what route did you have? What direction are you coming from? What the roads look like? Okay. Yeah, Midtown High School. So you didn't necessarily get like stuck in one spot. You just couldn't make it up the hill. How far did you just walk? I completely agree with you. Yeah. it's funny. I'm getting videos from my wife and kids right now. They're making snowmans and everything in the backyard, getting the coffee and the hot chocolate heated up. So, obviously, like G said, if you don't have to get on the roads, just listen to us on the Odyssey app. Make sure you hang out with us. We appreciate you hanging out with us, for everything going on. Bo's getting pictures,
Farley
too.
Farley just sent us downtown Roswell. There's snow. I mean, but he's driving. It's one of our great sales guys. So, look. I always love, I've driven, and like nobody has it figured out. Things happen. More worried about other people. But I love when people from up north who I'm friends with want to tell me this is what I need to do. like driving wise, I'm like,
we're not dealing with the same situations they are.
But I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm like, I've done it before. I mean, I look, whether it happens today or not, I have done it before. I'm relying on, you know, what I've happened in the past. Well,
yes,
it's because of the preparation that they're able to do that we just don't have. Like, they were not budgeting for it. It happens twice a year.
Yeah, I'm like, look.
But I would say this is that, you know, I always get a little bit of guilty joy out of like when there's a snowstorm or something that hits up north and it basically takes their roads out. Because I'm like,
it's so messed up.
I'm like, what happened? I thought you guys knew how it doesn't matter.
You're talking about something that affects millions of people and basing it off the 100 people that talk crap on Twitter.
Now, there's a lot more than 100 people. Okay. I've never met someone from the north that didn't decide to tell me how I could have drove better.
Either way.
Okay, I got. So, oh, look, dude, man, I love our listeners.
Yeah.
Already got multiple pictures. This guy said, I'm running every red light I can. It's just us driving slow. Talking about the yellow.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean get on there. This guy for 75 North Wade Green Road. I can see it. It's snow. The road looks pretty open. But he's around Wade Green, so it's a little bit north.
Can you see in his picture, can you see asphalt?
Well, there's one on I-20 coming out of Covington. I can.
Okay, make sure you give these guys shouts out.
B-17 Fortress is the one guy that said it's just us driving slow. Heavy underscore steps, 75 Wade Green. Appreciate you. Ron Baby is in Clayton County on 675. It's snowing pretty hard down there, but you can see asphalt, but it's covered with snow, but you can still see the darkness of the asphalt. And he's moving. This is a GIF. It looks like they're moving at a reasonable pace. He's actually doing a very good job of keeping distance between him and the truck in front of him.
Smart man.
So good job, Ron Baby, 68. Captain underscore Hook 51, which is our boy Austin, is he's one in Covington. So, guys, thank you for sending these. This is great. Well, we'll post these for other people that maybe are thinking about getting out, so maybe it deters them. Because, look, there's no reason to get out. Unless you're getting home or you really, really, really need, like, that McDonald's breakfast, then other than that, stay.
I would say nobody really, really needs the McDonald's breakfast.
Well, yeah, they do. I mean, like, they're our sponsor. I love McDonald's breakfast. I got to have it. Sometimes you got to have it. Sometimes you got to have it,
well,
Mike.
Well, look, you didn't let me finish. I was going to say nobody really, really needs McDonald's breakfast, but if you get that aroma in your nose and you get that thing rolling, I don't blame you, okay? It all comes out that way.
What's the one that they have with the pancake? The McGriddle?
McGriddle, yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Now I want a McGriddle.
Well, you're going to be walking there because I worry.
I actually do.
For you.
When I make it to my apartment, I actually do have a McDonald's literally right across the street from my apartment, easily walking distance, just a few feet.
Real quick before we get to Life of Squid, because I do want to get that topic. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I mentioned to you, I think there is one lock this weekend. I think the Chargers beating the Texans is as close of a lock or at least an upset as far as seeding goes that you're going to find. Chargers, much better team. If the Joe Alt and company, those tackles for the Chargers, if they can step up to the plate against that pass rush, Danielle Hunter in that group from the Texans, Will Anderson, I think they route Texans. I think the Texans are good, but they are a much more faulty team and less explosive than they were last year.
Something's missing this year. There was magic for that team last year, Mike. Do you not agree that it was a little bit of magic? Maybe it was C.J. Stroud, kind of a breath of fresh air into the locker room and with D'Amico Ryans getting there.
Yeah.
But I just feel like that magic is not there. And that I agree with kind of everything you're saying as far as they're just not the team. But there was a sense of confidence there. They just don't seem to play with from what little I've seen of them.
I think Bobby Slowick is taking a little bit of a step back. Obviously, the injuries they've dealt with, Tank Dell and company. Nico Collins has been that guy, but not as much. I don't know. It doesn't seem like they're hitting it at the right stride, and I feel like the Chargers probably are. So that'll be a fun matchup this weekend.
Yeah, Hawks Gang 77. Our boy Jake, he's up in Buford Drive at Cool Ray, and it's getting bad up there.
Okay,
so
all right, stay safe.
You will see a silver streak in four wheel drive, and it'll be my truck. Hit it, Dylan. Michael
P.
No, I was saying Michael.
Okay. All right, what do you got?
Arch has put new meaning to a little bit of W sauce. Apparently, you can put it on your sled as well.
He said he's going to get a snow.
Not only will it slide faster, but it'll that snow on the bottom of it will taste better.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like you said, he's going to be zooming like that Christmas vacation scene.
I might have to have a couple of Isle End lagers, put a little that, and maybe, you know, bourbon might be not a bad thing, too, in your to get a little warm belly before you go out today. But Isle End Lager, you're the official beer of Kennesaw State Athletics. Okay. Guy that I would love to see here in a Falcons uniform next year.
Uh-oh.
Played last night. Now, I don't think he'll be there because I have a feeling that he's going to go before the Falcons get up to pick. But
Tyler Warren.
Abdul Carter.
Oh, dude, I would.
He won't be there. Like, I know.
Let me tell you something.
But that guy's a beast, not only against the run, but the pass as well. I mean, he's
stud.
He's quick. He's a little bit small. I mean, I think he's like a – I think he might be like 245.
You could have told me last night with four teams still left, you could have told me that Penn State had the best two players in the semifinal left, and I would have probably been like, yeah, it's hard to argue with. Both of those guys, Tyler Warren and Abdul Carter, absolute game changers.
Yeah, he's 6'3", 250, so he's right around 245,
that'll 250. Work. Yeah, that'll work.
He had his eye black, and it said Darth Vader on it.
I like that.
If you, Tebow did it when you were playing. He put the Bible verses. What would you guys have put on your eye black if you were playing in a big game like that? And you know that people, there's going to be that awesome helmet, like, you know, face shot of you looking down. You're about to come off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
come after it.
Mine would definitely be something offensive line related. You guys know me, man. Like this one on this side would say something like big bellies, and the other side would say flat backs. You know, like big bellies, flat backs, do your job. Something like that. It would be something offensive line related.
Somewhat coded a little bit.
Yeah.
Though, in other words. Move, that's a little bit coded.
Yeah, move the line of scrimmage. I don't know. It wouldn't be a Bible verse probably. It would be something about what I'm trying to do on the field, but that's just me.
Well, at this point, if I was playing today, which I'm not, but if I was playing today, like everything, my life has played out like it is, and then I'm suddenly thrust into a national – you know, semifinal or something.
Hashtag blessed.
I'd probably put Squid Nation on it.
Oh,
what are the odds this guy gets a Squid Nation tattoo at some point? Like, I feel like it's coming. It's the, yeah, the tramp stamp. Yeah.
Okay. No. Although, no, I'm not going to say that.
Oh, man.
What do you think? What do you guys think? You got any eye black stuff?
I would probably go, I've really been into Timothy lately.
Dye and Lon.
Actually, that actually might be a good one.
I'm good with that. That'd
I actually
sick.
Might have to go Dye Lon. I actually might have to do that. That
on
actually
each
might
side,
be better.
Dye Lon.
Hometown yes. take.
yeah. Garrett, I figured you could have wrote my pleasure on it. Because that's the old, if you know, you know.
Yeah.
Because somebody watched that game. Yeah, man, Garrett, you serve me. My waffle fries.
That's good stuff, man. Yeah. His well, listen, this just be a couple months. Bo's gonna write pork chop on his for the new addition to the Squidbilly family. So we'll
see.
Boy,
dude, the stuff is coming in.
Yeah. All the kid stuff. Car seats, nursery items, rockers.
Man, I'm getting
make sure you get the one the diaper pail where you can slide open and close and shut that smell off, because you don't want that thing sitting in that trash
the
can.
The diaper genie or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm getting I don't want to talk about it. I'm getting a little nervous. Let's talk more about driving in the snow. Now. Something I feel like I'm built for.
Well, speaking of driving in the snow, I can officially confirm that Stakey's in the building, man. What's going on out there, boss?
Well, it was interesting, man. So I believe it or not, meeting folks at Starbucks at 6:30. Quick little get together. Yeah, believe it or not,
was that your chamber of commerce meeting or whatever did you go to?
Well, we had a meeting at 6:30. Okay. He's one of those guys that gets up super early. He's like, if you want to meet, talk a biz. I was like, fine. So as we're sitting there, about 7, it starts coming down.
Right.
And then 7:30, I'm 5 miles, and I'm like, I'm in no man's land.
Yeah.
So I got 45 minutes of full downpour, absolute full downpour. First, only person on the road, but it's a straight shot down Roswell Road in Peachtree.
Yeah.
And the most accumulating type snow. I mean, this is thick, sticky. Yeah. Yeah. This is the most beautiful snow there is.
That's the good stuff.
This is snowball. Dude, yeah, this is snowball weather.
Well, it looks like it's starting to kind of thin out and a little bit of a sleet type. So it's time for me to get home.
Yeah, yes. I was going to say my kids are at home and building the snowman.
How psyched are they?
Oh, they're to beside themselves.
Yeah, just be careful. Are you going on the highway?
Yeah, I'm going on Peachtree like you did.
What are you driving?
A four-wheel drive truck.
Dude, you're the cliche, baby.
I know, man. I wear every single label.
Well, we're here. No, we got a full crew. Everybody on our show's here. So we got 2 hours ahead.
Hey. I always have a four-wheel drive in my house. Yeah,
that's going to do it for us here on the morning shift. The steakhouse is next. Make sure you stay safe and stay cool, Atlanta.
How could you not?